This is the 2021 year-end wrap for Advanced D&D, a podcast from WUKY, hosted by Dan Boo and DeBron Thomas. In this episode, we'll be talking about our best and worst of 2021. That's right here on Advanced D&D on WUKY. I can't believe we are doing this, Dan, because not necessarily because I can't believe that we're in a new year. I just can't believe we got through the last one and the year before that. But here we are doing our year-end wrap.
Did we, though? Did we get through it? I mean, you know, let's be real. I, for one, want people to stop saying post-COVID or back in COVID times, because we are still in COVID times. And at this point, we're not leaving COVID times. So let's just not talk about it. Let's just assume that COVID is part of our world. But yes, it is. We're recording this a few days into 2022. And we want to kind of take a look back at the year that was or wasn't.
Yeah, well, you know, at that point real quick, I do want to say it is really funny to all the people who thought after 2008, we were in a post-racial society. They are in for a surprise. So those folks who think that we are in a post-COVID society, more of the same. But as we start every show, usually we talk about the news. So, Dan, I'll lead it off to you for the best and worst of the news from 2021.
Well, when I was kind of doing my homework for this episode, I kind of forgot how much crazy shit happened this year. Just like going all the way back to last January and just the sheer density of things that happened. Starting off, really, we're recording this one day before the 1 year anniversary of the Capitol riot, the Capitol insurgency. That still feels really, really fresh in my mind. Like it feels like it happened 2 weeks ago. And I think it's going to be one of those watershed things that people just aren't going to forget about, for a while. I'm curious to see, how this anniversary will be, I don't know, observed is the wrong word. I mean, do you think like 10 years from now, you know, Mattress Warehouse will have a Capitol riot furniture sale?
Sheets are going to be half off.
Good one. Good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Confederate flags are going to be buy one, get 3/5 of one free.
Nice. Well played. The other big story or stories that are forefront, I think, in both of our minds, we had a whole bunch of trials that have direct and mostly direct relationship to sort of the racial tensions and the racial justice in this country. Derek Chauvin was convicted. He's about to serve 22 years. Kim Potter, another police officer, is about to serve 11 years. Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and Roddy Bryant, their sentencing is actually pending in a couple of days, but they were also found guilty, along with Robert Aaron Long, the person that murdered all the folks in the Atlanta spas. He's been given 4 life sentences plus 35 years, and he has another trial coming up because those convictions were only for 4 of his 8 victims. So they're going to stack some more years onto him. And the one sort of big asterisk from all of this, you know, let's not call it justice, let's call it accountability, was Kyle Rittenhouse, who was acquitted in, I would argue, a more complex case. So a whole lot of stuff. It's interesting to see, because I think, you know, racially motivated killings, police brutality, all this kind of stuff has been happening for years and years and decades and centuries. But it feels like really only last year do we have this kind of pile on of actual trials.
Yeah. And one of the things that kind of comes to mind, because when we were talking about 2020 and, you know, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, like you said, these things are not new. And I think that they gained the level of attention that they did. Well, specifically George Floyd, because people were cooped up in their houses and couldn't just escape it and pretend like it doesn't exist, like has happened for generations. But I think that the lesson is that all of the people who thought that things were finally going to change are waking up to the realization that, no, the system was designed the way that it is to function the way that it does and to hurt the people that it does. Until we can finally have real accountability and justice, because I'm not going to sit here and say that the Ahmaud Arbery case wasn't a positive thing, but it is a very small piece on the road of justice that actually needs to happen, especially when it comes to healing and reconciliation in this country. So we'll see how things go in the next year, and maybe we can continue with these conversations and not have them be in a reactionary way and actually look to, you know, work on making some real change. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm a little, I don't know. I could go about 50-50 on it because of the way things have gone in the past.
I think we'll know that we've made significant progress in the world of racial justice when trials and cases like this are no longer remarkable. Another big thing that happened in the law this year was the Texas abortion ban, kind of a one-of-a-kind law that is able to skirt and really challenge Roe v. Wade. And with the current 6-3 Republican or conservative makeup of the Supreme Court, there is a very good chance that in 2022, we will see even more serious challenges on the federal level to Roe v. Wade. So that's definitely one that we want to be watching out for. I think the biggest story that I would argue has affected the most Americans this year is the fact that we had vaccines this year. Between the early part of the year and the end of the year, we have basically had three rounds of vaccines approved. And I think this at this recording date, booster shots, the third shots, have been approved, I believe, for Pfizer for 12 to 15 year olds. And I think they're working on approval soon for the youngest age groups, the 2 through 5s. So we've come a long, long way, and it's really changed the face of this pandemic. And it's kind of evolving it into a whole different situation in my mind. And we'll talk a little more about that later. But yeah, the vaccines, I think they were extraordinarily game changing for this year.
It is, it's an interesting thing to think about, too, because I feel that in the same way in which it kind of eased a lot of people's feelings about the pandemic, it equally stressed people out, because now we have to sit here and kind of have the conversation around, like, you know, who's vaccinated and who's not, and what are the long-term effects of this potential virus being around with people, you know, with vaccination rates being what they are they accessible in certain areas and this and that. So I definitely think that over the course of the year, there was a lot of conversation around that. And I hope that moving into the next year, especially this year, as things are still not necessarily quote unquote over, I'm hoping that we can still have a, you know, better conversation around vaccines and have some sense of ease that at least we have this, which we did not have a year ago.
That's right. A few other sort of noteworthy news pieces from this year, election laws and election, I don't even know what to call it. There are a lot of states right now enacting a lot of laws that are making voting very, very difficult for a lot of people. And it is not an overstatement to say our democratic process is under siege right now. Inflation has also been going through the roof. We've had some of the highest inflation we've seen in 40 years. Compound that with supply chain issues, compound that with the quote unquote great resignation, folks leaving the job market in droves and droves, it is putting us in a really tight and really kind of weird one-of-a-kind economic situation. And then the other story that definitely made the cycle for quite a while, it was our final, after 20-plus years, withdrawal from Afghanistan and the chaotic way, maybe inevitably chaotic way that was handled, and some of the really jarring and brutal pictures of folks clinging onto American cargo planes and The resulting influx of Afghan refugees into this country, which we have not heard that much about recently. So those are sort of our sort of big things that have been swirling around my mind all of this year.
The one other thing that I want to mention that we didn't actually get a chance to talk about, because when it came out, we were trying to find a date to record and things just didn't work out. But the Department of Justice finally closed the case of Emmett Till. And Carolyn Bryant is still alive and has said publicly that she fabricated the story. But according to the Department of Justice, there was not enough evidence to justify another trial. And kind of closing the loop on the conversation that we kind of started this with, all of this conversation about accountability, and here is a moment in time where that really was the spark of the civil rights movement, and we still do not have justice for Emmett Till, even with a admission of guilt on the part of Carolyn Bryant. So that was the only other thing that I wanted to just add, because we hadn't had a chance, an opportunity to talk about it. And also, I haven't really seen much conversation about it. And this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And to me, the striking thing is the fact that we're hearing about this now makes you realize that this woman who is a witness in the situation is still alive today. So the stuff we're talking about is not ancient history. It's literally just a couple generations. And it's still really sort of fresh and still impacting the way we look at race in this country. On a lighter note, also some weird, weird stuff happened this year. I'm going to give you, DeBron, a little quiz to see if you remember some of the oddest things that happened this year. Are you ready?
No, but let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. What was the Ever Given?
I have no idea.
That was the giant container ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal because it was trying to make some sort of turn, and it literally just lodged in the canal for, I don't remember, like weeks and weeks, and just lots of people just didn't get their stuff because it was a giant container ship full of stuff. And it was, of course, like everything else, the victim of lots and lots of memes ever since. And there's this great photo, a container ship is one of the largest man-made things on the planet right now. And there's a picture of this little tractor or tractor shovel digging dirt at the foot of this this container ship. It was pretty hilarious. And that definitely was kind of also emblematic of our place in the world at that time. Shakira, a really huge Latin music star, had her bag stolen this year. Who stole Shakira's bag?
Was it Santa Claus?
It was wild boars. According to a tweet that Shakira put out, she was with her kid, and I don't entirely know where they were, but she said wild boars ran by and stole her bag. But, you know, that's what you get for, you know, buying bags of corn. I don't know what was in her bag. Nicki Minaj, never one to shy away from the headlines. She recently claimed that COVID-19 vaccines may cause what medical condition?
Okay. I think I know this one. Does it cause your testicles to shrink?
That is correct. And it caused, I am missing the exact details here. I think the country of, I don't remember, I think it was a Caribbean country's government actually did a study and scientifically came out and proved that no, it does not cause your testicles to shrink. So fake news. And lastly, a plumber working on Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston, what did he find in the walls of this church?
So I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to go out on a limb. Is it the empathy that Joel Osteen has for all of the money that he somehow steals?
Ooh, it's close. First of all, that doesn't exist, the thing that you're talking about. It was $600,000 in cash. Hidden in the walls of this church that apparently someone had embezzled. I just kind of assumed that that's where Joel Osteen keeps his money. The plumber was very honest and handed this money over, and he was given a $20,000 reward. So honestly, really not the weirdest thing that happened this year.
Well, you know, that just goes to show you, if you're going to hide your money, do it in your bed like everybody else.
I don't know that I can fit 600 grand in my mattress, though. That's kind of the issue. Like, I don't have enough. If anybody's seen Ozark, I guess The Walls is a good place to hide your money. This year, like every year, we lose a lot of significant figures in our pop culture, not least of which we kind of have to start this list with. The last person that died on New Year's Eve was the good and great Betty White. She was about 2 weeks shy of her 100th birthday. What a life, what a career. All the remembrances of her have brought out all these clips from her almost 80 years in show business. Phenomenal, just so phenomenal. And the fact that she was very much in control of her career, of her image. She was so savvy, and she was literally working, you know, into year 99. So I can't say enough about Betty White, honestly. We lost another great, and lost him too early, Michael K. Williams of Lovecraft fame, of The Wire, of Boardwalk Empire, all kinds of really great shows. Just a man with such an arresting face, so much charisma. And I really feel like, you know, The Wire was where people first caught him, but I feel like we were really starting to see what he could really do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just makes me so sad to think about Michael K. Williams, because he was so talented. And Betty White, too, was incredible. You know, I've got a couple that kind of are a little personal to me. So kind of on the same coin of Betty White, Cicely Tyson passed away early in 2021. And she also was working well into her 90s. You know, had an interview with Oprah like not too long before she passed away, talking about how she was still looking for roles to do, and was still interested in doing film, and all of the doors she opened for people. And kind of on that same coin, Bell Hooks, one of the great Kentuckians, passed away. You know, her work on the intersection of feminism and race and class, like, she is a legend who did not get the necessary flowers she deserved while she was here. But her impact on the world is incredible. Also, another writer that we lost, Greg Tate, who was one of the kind of forefathers of, writing about hip hop, but also he wrote just really about black culture, giving a space to black people to tell their own stories. And he was also one of the founders of the Black Rock Coalition. Also, Robbie Shakespeare of the duo Sly and Robbie, one of the greatest dub bass players of all time. I feel bad when we talk about in memoriams, because I always feel like there's going to be people we're going to leave out. But, you know, it's sad when anybody goes, and this year was no exception. Well, as we move into something that's not as depressing, let's talk about pop culture. Going straight into music, there was a lot of really great music that came out last year. I've got my personal favorites, but I'll let you go ahead and go first, Dan.
The three albums that just basically completely dominated my playlist this year, starting off with Churches, the British sort of synthy poppy rock group, put out a great new album called Screen Violence. It has a much darker tone to it, and they even brought in Robert Smith of The Cure to guest on one track, and just so great. And particularly the track Final Girl, the first time I put it on, I literally listened to it four times back to back. It was just had its hooks in me. The War on Drugs had put out a really great new album, I Don't Live Here Anymore. I always thought, you know, their first early couple of albums, it felt like a pastiche of a lot of sort of Petty and Dylan, and they kind of wore their influences on their sleeves. And this album, I feel like they really kind of have, evolved with their own sound that I really enjoy. And number three on my list is Halsey. She's sort of a genre of music that I'm not generally into. I've always really enjoyed her voice, and she's always had a real thing for hooks. But this new album is produced by Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, and you can definitely feel that influence. There's some sort of emo rock on here. There's some singer-songwritery stuff here. There's some really dark sort of techno pop on here. It's called If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power, which is also just a terrific name for an album. So those are my top three.
I've definitely been a fan of Halsey ever since I saw them on SNL that first time. I had never heard of Halsey before, had never heard her music. I definitely co-signed that record. Well, for me, kind of in the same vein, I guess I can go backwards since you talked about the dudes from Nine Inch Nails. Speaking of a slight association, one of my favorite records of the year was Lil Nas X's Montero. You know, there were really cool collaborations from Miley Cyrus and Elton John and Doja Cat. I really feel like this particular album, he put a lot of himself in and just kind of forgot about, you know, gimmicks and things like that. And it was a really great piece of work. As I was putting this together, I completely forgot too. Which is one of the hard things about like end of year things is being like, oh, this all happened in this same year. Lizzo and Cardi B teamed up for the bop that was Rumors. What an incredible music video and what an incredible song. Also, one of my favorite records for the year was Snow Allegra's Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies. It was just, that whole album is just a vibe, and sometimes I'll put it on while I'm working just to kind of like get myself in a headspace to be creative. And of course, at number one, as I said when it came out and probably before it came out and talked about it so much that Dan made us have an entire section about Anderson .Paak on this show, the Silk Sonic album and Evening with Silk Sonic was my favorite for 2021. As things look forward into 2022, I'm sure there's a lot of music out there that's going to happen, but one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, there have been a lot of rumors about it, but it is possible that we'll get a new Kendrick album this year, and that is something I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, there are a few albums on the horizon for me as well. Lizzo is supposed to have a new album coming out. Phoenix, a really great French pop band. And I haven't heard anything solid, but Of Monsters and Men have been dropping quietly a couple of new singles. So I suspect they'll be coming out with something soon. And hard to believe their first album was from 10 years ago now, but one of my favorite bands of all time, for sure. And then one sort of funny one, I don't know much about them. This little sort of girl punk group called the Linda Lindas kind of went viral this year with this track called Racist Sexist Boy. They have a full-length album coming out this year as well, so that should be a lot of fun.
What a great band. They rock. I wish I could be a kid and be friends with them.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of teased a little bit, we're going to do, instead of This Week in Anderson .Paak, it is the best of Anderson .Paak. I've got a couple of things. First, his song Fire in the Sky from the Shang-Chi soundtrack was a beautiful way to end that film. Also, recently, he, along with Dr. Dre, are featured in an online game of Grand Theft Auto 5. So just so proud of him for continuing to get this bag. He had a pretty fantastic outdoor concert with his nonprofit Pack House. And then we cannot forget Anderson .Paak's incredible Halloween costumes, where he dressed up as not one, not two, but three musical artists: Prince, Stevie Wonder, and Bruno Mars, which all three are absolutely hilarious. And again, at the top of this list, best thing he did all year, An Evening with Silk Sonic. That is going to be one of my favorite records for a very, very long time. Moving into TV and movies, there were a lot of movies that came out. And I feel like I do want to just go ahead and make an honorary mention that all the movies that I got to see with you, Dan, are in a separate category in my head as like being able to be in a movie theater and, you know, be with somebody else and not watch something on streaming was wonderful. But what were your movies for the year?
I saw a pretty solid chunk. I saw 73 movies this year, most of them at home, but a good decent number in the theaters. Now, my list isn't necessarily stuff that was released in 2021. It was stuff that I saw in 2021, which because we live in Lexington, Kentucky, we usually get a lot of the big Oscar and more art house films like at the beginning of the next year. So on my top list will be some of that, including the number one, which is Sound of Metal, which was an Oscar nominee from last year. Came out in 2020. Such a fantastic, fantastic film. If you're watching it by yourself at home, do it through headphones because some of the sound design in it is so amazing because it is trying to convey to you the, you know, visceral experience of losing your hearing and just a fantastic performance from Riz Ahmed and everybody else in that movie. Number two is going to have to be Dune. That really lived up to my expectations. I was really excited when I heard Denis Villeneuve was going to do this. The cast did not disappoint, had some great action set pieces. And I think you and I are both very heartened to know that there will be a part two. Otherwise, it'd be a real awkward half of a movie. My number three is this little Korean movie that was on Netflix called Hashtag Alive, which is a terrible title. It is about a zombie apocalypse in the middle of a Korean city. And it focuses on this one young slacker who is stuck in his high-rise apartment. And then he, you know, forms an alliance and a friendship with this young woman who lives in an apartment complex across the way. But just so inventive of a, I'm a sucker for zombie movies anyway, but I love it when they're smaller like this. Like Army of the Dead was fun, but this one was a much more sort of intimate on the ground. And it makes you really think about like, what would you do if you were stuck in an apartment building during a zombie apocalypse? The actual Oscar winner from last year, Nomadland, Chloe Zhao's very intimate, very understated film starring Frances McDormand, really, really terrific movie. And rounding out my top five is Lucky Grandma. I don't know if that even got a theatrical release, but it's on streaming services. It's just this terrific movie starring this veteran Chinese American actress called Cai Qin about this old lady who lives in Chinatown who is in trouble with the mob because she lost a whole bunch of money, or she took some money and then lost it. So just such a fun movie and certainly a portrayal of Asian American life that you've probably never seen on screen. How about you?
Well, I guess I'll go one through five. My number one, again, I guess I should kind of give a disclaimer that this is not necessarily about quality, but more the way that it made me feel. So rounding out number one is Spider-Man No Way Home. I was definitely the target audience for this movie. Spider-Man has been my favorite superhero since I was a little kid, but just I think the execution of everything just blew me away, even with all of the spoilers that were leaked over the months leading to the movie, but it is what it is. For me, Dune also number two. Just what a fantastic, it was just a beautiful film. The soundtrack was great. And, you know, in terms of like actually, you know, understanding the assignment, it nailed all of the things that it needed to. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is also on here as number three because I really appreciated going to a movie theater with you. Thank you for dragging me out. But also, like, I just loved the representation and the way that the story was told. You know, definitely one of my favorite Marvel films moving forward. Number four, another film that I saw with you, No Time to Die. If you don't know, I was indoctrinated as a James Bond fan by my dad, and I've seen all of them. And this definitely was one of my top five favorite Bond films of all time. And then number five, this was something that I kind of made me think about, but you know, the Snyder Cut was not all that bad. And I think that it is on this list only because I sat through it for 4 hours and I didn't hate it. So 4 hours is a long time to sit through anything. And it definitely was worth at least watching once. So I will give it that. Do you have anything for your worst movies of 2021?
Well, file this one under so bad that you want all of your friends to see it because you have to discuss it. It was so bad. It was memorably bad. I almost would want to, I could be convinced to see it again with a friend who hasn't seen it just because it was so hilariously, unintentionally bad and kind of, you know, a movie from, some would argue, the master of unintentionally bad movies. That's M. Night Shyamalan and his newest movie, Old. I don't even want to get into the plot. I think everybody should go out and see it and then DM me and let's discuss it because it was just so brilliantly bad. It's the kind of movie that you can't really even do like a Mystery Science 3000. Like you just have to take it on its own. In a different category, I would say this movie I did not necessarily love or hate, but I categorize it as the most unnecessary movie of 2021. And that's Matrix Resurrections. 20 years after the original trilogy, they kind of dug it up. And yeah, it was, I mean, my review of this movie is, yeah, it's The Matrix. And that's kind of all I got to say about it. I will say this past year, there have been a lot of really great films that I have just missed and I need to work on catching up with in the next couple of months, including Zola, Come On, Come On, Power of the Dog. Finally did see Passing, which was very good, and Blue Bayou. So all kinds of stuff to catch up on and all kinds of great stuff coming our way in 2022. Turning Red is the new Pixar movie. It stars an Asian American young girl that whenever she gets mad, she turns into a gigantic red panda. It looks like Pixar magic to me. I'm really psyched for it. Jordan Peele's new film called Nope. We know nothing about it except that Daniel Kaluuya is in it, and that's all I need to sign me up. The Northman, which looks like, let's just say Vikings. I'm a sucker for gladiators, Vikings, Romans, anybody with a sword, and this one looks really interesting. And Bjork's in it, so, you know, it at the very least will be interesting. A new movie looks like a thriller called Don't Worry, Darling, directed by Olivia Wilde, who made the terrific Booksmart, and it stars the also very terrific Florence Pugh. And the movie that I'm probably looking forward to the most in 2022 is a little film called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And this, for me, means that Marvel does not have the monopoly on the multiverse because this movie stars Michelle Yeoh as just this average middle-aged mother and wife who discovers that there is a multiverse and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of versions of herself. And the movie just looks trippy and loopy and just amazing. And I love this current renaissance that Michelle Yeoh is enjoying, and I'm looking forward to much more.
Well, I do want to say I did see Zola, and it would be on my it's one of those things I'd be like, yeah, you should watch it. It is a thing in terms of the what it came out for. It was definitely super entertaining.
Okay, so you go see Old, I'll see Zola, and then we'll come back together and discuss.
We'll meet in the middle and high five. It'll be great. Other things that are coming out, speaking of just kind of drama, the Black Panther 2 has had a lot of behind the scenes struggles, but that's coming out next November. Very surprised that they didn't try to pocket and put it into February again, because apparently that's the only time you could make those kinds of movies. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, another movie I'm super excited about. Yeah, really looking forward to that. Also, Thor, Love and Thunder. Very excited about that, to see the, you know, the Asgardians of the Galaxy. Also, the first half of the next sequel to the Spider-Verse 2. It's going to be a two-parter, and so looking forward to that. And a movie that actually just got pushed a couple months, Morbius, starring Jared Leto, is also one I'm looking for. Now, we've been talking about the big screen. Let's talk about the smaller screen that can be anywhere from the size of a television to, I guess, your phone now, because we're in the future. What's been your favorites from 2021 as far as TV goes?
First of all, I'm going to say, if you watched an entire show or an entire movie on your phone, in my snobby world, that does not count. You have to, I'm going to say, at least a laptop size screen for it to count. The Silver Age, or whatever age of television that we're in, continues to truck on with just terrific shows left and right. We seem to be gaining a new streaming service every couple of months. And at the moment, I'm okay with it because it's coming with a lot of great content. My top handful of TV shows this year starts with Reservation Dogs. Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi produced a show about these four teenagers growing up on the res. Funny, brilliantly acted, well-scripted, has a lot of heart. I appreciate very much, and I think you may touch on this, or I'll touch on this on one of your picks later. I love shows that aren't necessarily for me, and they don't explain it for me, and it's for a particular audience that just hasn't gotten representation and hasn't gotten things that speak to them. So I am perfectly cool with seeing parts of shows or movies that I just don't quite get. And it's cool with me because it's a long time coming for a lot of these audiences. Another great show I saw was Why the Last Man. It was a terrific graphic novel series from a good while ago that finally got adapted by FX. I thought it translated really, really well, tackled a lot of issues really well, has unfortunately gotten canceled by FX. But in this day and age, hopefully it might get picked up by another service. This one I didn't know to categorize in TV or movies, but Bo Burnham, who started off as a YouTube star and also directed the really great coming-of-age movie Eighth Grade, he did a thing called Inside, Bo Burnham Inside. And it's kind of, it's a very strange meta, you know, commentary on kind of this COVID quarantine year, where he basically just kind of locked himself up in this room and created this piece of work that had really catchy musical numbers and just like meta upon meta commentary about sort of fame and all kinds of stuff. Really interesting. It's worth a watch, maybe worth a rewatch. Sex Education came back with a new season. I enjoy that show so much for its representation, for its willingness to talk about sex and relationships in such an open way, and it's just such a big-hearted show. Money Heist was my binge of this year. I ran through all five seasons in a matter of a few weeks, the Spanish heist show. Not great art necessarily, but it's like that really, really good like kettle corn that you get at the state fair. Except in this case, I ate kettle corn every day for like a month. And rounding things off, WandaVision, the first TV show that came out of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, really kind of set the bar really, really high with a really interesting show that even drew in people who couldn't care less about Marvel, like my wife, Lauren.
Yeah, WandaVision is definitely on my list. I'll go through a few of these. For the first one for me was we got to see the final season of the final season of Insecure, which you know, produced by Issa Rae and Prentice Penny, and you know, that show means so much to the culture, and it is very rare that shows get to go out on their own terms. So if you have not watched Insecure, it's on HBO. It's a wonderful show, and it definitely got a really nice conclusion before the end of the year. Also rounding it at number two for me was the Star Wars animated series, The Bad Batch. I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I really love what Dave Filoni has done with the animated series and really giving us an opportunity to explore timelines of the Star Wars universe that we are familiar with, but also maybe haven't necessarily explored. Like I said, number three for me was WandaVision. I would say four would be the Black Lady sketch show. Season two came out this year. And we also had Falcon and Winter Soldier, which was another good one. And then I recently kind of got into the whole Apple situation. I can't remember what the streaming service is called, but The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston is really good, really good. And there's a portion of the show that takes in the second season that takes place during the beginning of COVID. And I caught myself being like, these people aren't doing all of these things. And then being reminded that, oh, yeah, we all thought that this was a joke at the beginning. So, those are my TV shows for this year. What are you looking forward to moving into the next year?
There are a bunch of great shows coming back. But what I realized is in this past year, we canceled HBO and we canceled Amazon. And now there are a bunch of shows coming on both those services. And now I'm struggling with, like, do we get these back? Some shows that we were really into before have new seasons coming out, including Ozark, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Barry, and Russian Doll. But what I'm really looking forward to is the new stuff, an adaptation of Sandman, which I think is very ambitious because that's always been such an idiosyncratic graphic novel by Neil Gaiman, and so hard to translate. But hopefully they'll get it right. House of the Dragon, a prequel to Game of Thrones. I think that could be very interesting. And then one very interesting one that I'm looking forward to is Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, kind of a show curated by del Toro, who is one of my favorite directors, and has such a love of movies and monsters and strange things. So I think anything that comes out of that brain of his is going to be really good. Why don't you take us through some of our Marvel and Star Wars stuff? Because Disney Plus, man, they are not letting us go 1 week without some new content from either of these properties.
Well, speaking of Star Wars and Marvel in the same one, Poe Dameron is jumping into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Oscar Isaac will be Moon Knight in the new Moon Knight TV show. Very excited for that. Also, we're going to get Miss Marvel be introduced to Kamala Khan. And we'll also have a She-Hulk show which I'm super excited about because, like you said before with WandaVision, even though it wasn't supposed to be first, definitely set the bar very high for the quality of programming that we've gotten from Disney Marvel. So that's super exciting. Also, moving into Star Wars, one thing that has been teased for many years that Ewan McGregor, I guess, can finally stop pretending he doesn't know anything about is the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. That's something we're going to get also a show following Cassian Andor and a second season of The Bad Batch. So a lot happening in next year. So, well, next year, in this year. There'll be plenty to watch.
Yeah, for sure. This past year hasn't been quite like 2020. I feel like 2020 is the year that we all locked down. Everybody started doing cross stitch and baking sourdough. In our household, we went through a ton of jigsaw puzzles. This past year hasn't been quite as locked down. We actually have gotten to go out and hang out with friends. But what our family has gotten super duper into is crossword puzzles. We've been printing out the daily New York Times, and we bought each other all different levels of crossword books. And it's just a nice way to get off your phone and kind of, you know, sit there and figure out wordplay and think of things and ask each other. And for me, it was just such a great way to spend our downtime. And one of my sort of semi-resolutions maybe that I have every year is to be on my phone less. So this will help with that as well.
That's a good one. I'm very bad I'm very bad with paying attention to my phone. So maybe mine should be try to be more mindful of those kinds of things. Well, one of my favorite things, no matter what year it is food. And, you know, it just, I don't know about you, Dan, but I feel like the older I get, the better food tastes. I don't know. It just gets better with age. Well, obviously not sitting out, but, you know, actual food. So what were some of your favorites from 2021?
I hate to say it. I was reflecting over this year and I realized in 2020, I did so much home cooking. It was really a banner year just because we were staying home so much and we barely went out to eat to restaurants. So my home cooking game was up several notches. I've kept it up somewhat in 2021, but haven't really innovated as much. Trying to change that. I just got a ton of cookbooks from the library recently. I'm going to try to kind of continue with the new recipe development. And as far as tastes, like, we haven't gotten to go out to, when you eat out less, for me at least, when you eat out less, you end up going to some of your favorites and you don't really get a chance to try new places as much. So I don't really have any real great sort of new bites. One thing that is related to food that I really, really enjoyed recently, there was a lady who runs a food and travel blog, and she reviewed a Michelin-starred restaurant in Italy called Bros. And I just want everybody listening to after you hear this episode, Google Bros restaurant review. It is one of the most amazing things I've ever read. And then after you read that review, Google Bros restaurant review response, because it just gets better. And that's all I'll say about it. You will go on a journey of discovery and hilarity. So there you go.
I think I'm definitely with you in terms of cooking more at home and the whole going to the places that you want to go to because you want to support them and not necessarily having the space to get as adventurous. Because my question is, are we going to get it to go? Is there a place to sit out? You know, too many questions to ask. But in terms of home cooking, I definitely have gotten a little bit better with making bread. I'm still trying to get my chicken etouffee recipe just right. I made it again last weekend or weekend before last. And, it's not quite there, but that is I'm trying, and that's what matters. So speaking of trying things, it's time for our New Year's resolutions. As we look back on the previous year and look forward into the next one, it's very easy to think about things that you want to do and then have them not happen. So I'm trying to keep mine condensed and real to myself. But what about you? What are your resolutions for the new year?
One is a continuation from last year. I really, really want to take in more art and media and content by creators of color, queer creators, and other sort of marginalized folks. And when you do that, you often get just great stories that you've never heard or read or listened to or watched before. I think Reservation Dogs is a terrific, terrific example of that. So I'm going to keep that going. I am a terrible, whatever the opposite of voracious is, that's the kind of reader I am. I think I read one book this past year. So my very modest goal this year is I want to read at least two books written by Asian American women. And then this is kind of a perennial thing that I always yo-yo with a little bit. I would like to eat less garbage, just less junk food. And I don't eat really bad junk food, but I snack a little bit too much. So I just want to be more intentional and more thoughtful about what I put into my body. How about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely kind of in that that vein. I'd like to continue to do more cooking at home. But I also want to make sure that I'm getting more outside time, because I think that it's not that I didn't want to go and be active. It's just I had this fear, as many people do, of just going outside and catching the Rona. And, I think that there are a lot of safe ways to do things. So I just need to be more proactive about you know, going for a walk in the neighborhood or, you know, going to the Arboretum or whatever, and just kind of getting out and about and just, you know, getting the heart rate moving is definitely one of the things I want to do this year. Also, I want to work on more music and do a lot more writing. It's something that I have not done as much over the last few years. And especially last year, I think I got into a really good rhythm of things, and I just felt, you know, I felt better, and I definitely want to kind of continue with that, at least for my mental health. And then lastly, I don't really know if this counts as a resolution, but one thing I would like to do is to go home if it is possible. I haven't seen my mom and I haven't seen both of my parents in 2 years. And, you know, I really would like to see my parents and spend some time with them. So that's at least one thing that if it happens or not, I'm at least going to look for that in the next year. We've got news predictions as usual, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and say that, my news prediction for 2022 is that Chris Pratt is going to, get a role for to voice a particular animated character that he will have to pass off, to someone more qualified, which literally could be anyone. What about you? What are your,
On that one, on your vaguely stated prediction there, what about Stanley Tucci? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that'd be okay.
We shall see. I think in 2022, the intersection of our sort of politics and culture and just weird, very like 2020s culture is going to really collide and mash up in ways. I basically went and I wrote a sentence that would make zero sense to anyone living 3 years ago. So my first prediction is Kyle Rittenhouse will sell NFTs of himself crying in court because, you know, the guy's got to make a living and I don't think any rational person will want to hire him. And Mitch McConnell, the senator who will be senator forever, he's going to start giving tax credits to crypto companies to replace Kentucky coal mines with data mines. So replace one environmentally terrible thing with another environmentally terrible thing, because that's how he rolls.
And I got one more. He's going to write a memoir called Tales from the Crypto.
Ooh, like it.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, as we talk about pandemic advice, you know, personally, the last 2 years, as they have been for many other people, have been really difficult. And so my advice outside of all the things that we've both already said over the last year, just be good to yourself and have patience with other people. You know, times are tough, but give yourself the space to, you know, be patient. I know that it is difficult, and I know that things don't always work out the way that they should. But, you know, we're all going through this through the various ways we're trying to deal with it. And I think that if we all have a little bit of patience with one another, things will be just a little bit better.
Absolutely right. I think as this pandemic evolves, essentially, I believe the trajectory is that it is evolving into an endemic disease. Basically, in short, it's going to be like the flu. You're going to get vaccinated and potentially boosted for it every year. You're going to be a little bit more cautious when you go out into the public, but it's going to be the flu in the same way that we don't say, I'm not going to Kroger because it's flu season. You just get your shot. You are a little bit careful. I think the mask wearing when you're feeling bad or sick or going into crowded places is not a bad habit to get into. It's not that huge of an inconvenience. So my thing is COVID is going to become the new flu and let's treat it as such. I don't think we can grind our lives to a halt like we have. I think the notion of eradicating COVID, we're well past that point. So it is time to start living with COVID in a responsible and compassionate way.
Well, may old acquaintances be forgot, as are the rest of the lyrics of Auld Lang Syne. This has been our 2021 end of year wrap for Advanced D&D. I just want to say, Dan, I have had a huge amount of fun doing this with you, and I look forward to the content we create in 2022. And to everyone listening, thank you for continuing to listen and support this podcast and WUKY. And so, you know, here's hoping that we can all get through this next year, you know, however it is we do it.
And as I've heard said, may you have a marginally better year than last.
It's going to be a day. We'll see you soon.